Okay, before I begin, I said at the vision, Angela said something at the vision night, and I said, when we do the feedback sermon, will you come up and say what you said at the vision night? So, you can have a microphone or you can shout it.
What it was, we went to a meeting about Sunday school, and they mentioned prayer meetings, and I didn't have a clue that it was for us, all of us. I thought it was just for the elders, if you know, Paul and Jackie and Eric, yeah. So I was well chuffed to find out I can go to anyone I want, so we can all go. How good's that? Thank you. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. No, don't give me that. Okay, thank you, Angela. Yes, it's Vision Night feedback. Now, of course, I'm a preacher, so even though it's Vision Night feedback, there's a text. Because my vision is that we preach, and when we preach, we should preach the word, and plus it's communion today. So we'll have to get going. The text I was looking at, I used it at leaders' meeting, actually, on Monday. It's a cracking one. It's the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 to the end of the chapter. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to the end. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy, because I am holy. And remember that your heavenly Father, to whom you pray, has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. And now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God, because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, not to a life that you will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from God, from the eternal living word of God, excuse me. As the scripture says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. And that's God's word. So on the 1st of October this year, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, we had a vision night. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I'd never been to a vision night before. And I'd never hosted one, but I'd never been to the ones in the early days because I worked in the evenings back then. So I didn't know what I was doing. If I looked like I was in control, it was because I was acting. So thank you for coming, those of you that did, and thank you for all your ideas since. Just to stress that this was a vision night, but the vision of SVC, the vision was that. Sorry, I'm got a bit confused there. Let me just pause. The vision was set up 10 years ago, and the vision for SVC was that we would reach a people group that Christ Church Pennington was struggling with. We're a church plant. A group of people from Christ Church were planted here to reach, shall we say, the working classes with more informal worship and with a meal. Because Lee is a bit like Britain, isn't it? There's parts of Lee that have third-generation unemployment, and other parts of Lee with properties worth nearly £1 million. You know, real social divide there. And I think we can say, well, we're still all here 10 years afterwards. It's been a success. I affirm the vision that was that SVC was built on. But what I wanted to say, that's why I got my words mixed up. The way we pursue that vision changes over time. It has to. And that's why I was thinking of CAP, because originally we were set up to reach the two estates, and we did door knocking, we did Halloween stuff, but the way we really reached our demographic was through CAP. So we still do what we were doing, but it molded. And indeed, changes will happen in society over the next few years. Bound to, because of Brexit. There won't be uncontrolled immigration from the Eastern Bloc. That will affect how our society is. In 10 years, Britain will look fundamentally different than she does now. And of course, many of the other things that we read about on the news. But we shan't dwell on that. So just look at, just before we begin, I just want to draw your attention to two or three things in the passage. Peter calls on the Christians to walk according to the fear of the Lord. In verse 17 he said, and if you call on, I'm sorry, I'm using my translation now, the ESV, I find it easier, if you'll pardon me just for tonight. If you call on him as Father who judges impartially, each according to his deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout your time in exile. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The best way I ever heard that put was by Jerry Bridges. He's with the Lord now. And it's basically what we sang in that song. Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? It's looking at God, who he is, and what he does, and being absolutely stunned by his beauty, his majesty, his sovereignty, his holiness, his love, his grace, and his mercy. And all that he's done. And you know, another hymn that really sums up the fear of God to me is How Great Thou Art. You know, it talks about God's works, God's creation, all the beauty of nature, the death of Christ on the cross, and our hope of heaven. And the author just says, then sings my soul, how great thou art! You know, that's all the writer can do. He just thinks about what, or she, whoever it was, thinks about God, and then bursts into praise. John Murray calls it the soul of godliness. The fear of God, the soul of godliness. And Albert Martin, a lovely Baptist pastor, says, as a body without the soul becomes a stinking corpse, so the Christian life without the fear of God becomes formalism, hypocrisy, and emptiness. We are coming back to that theme later on. So Christians are to conduct themselves in the fear of the Lord because they're children of God. It's the fear and reverence of a child to a father. And also because we're children of God, because he's a good father, it says, be holy for I am holy. Being holy is what we call an attribute of God. God is truly, completely holy. And so he says to his people, both in the Old and the New Testament, be holy because I'm holy. Because if you're my children, you'll be like me. So in everything we say, everything we think, and everything we do, we're to be holy. Holy means, basically, set apart for God. Set apart for God. And morally pure. Everything we do is to be holy. That's very, very convicting, that. Be holy in all your conduct, all that you do. So at home and at work, at church and in the world, in private and public, we're to be holy. On social media, we're to be holy. Even when we're talking about politicians. Yeah? In our driving, we're to be holy. Yeah? how we spend our money, how we spend our time, all of it, we are to be holy, holy and set apart for God, doing all to his glory. And also, the Christian is to walk in the fear of the Lord, be holy, and a third point is be loving. Verse 22, having purified your soul by your obedience to the truth, for a sincerely brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. You have got, if you're a Christian, you've got a new heart, because God's given you one. And so you love the things that God loves, and you love the people who love God. It's one of the tests of a Christian faith. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? So Peter, love each other earnestly. No matter how much they get on your nerves, no matter how much you talk to them and they don't listen to you, whatever disagreements you have with them, love them. And what does it mean to love? Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't keep records of wrong. It's not easily angered. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the measurement. And of course, we see that lived in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, did he not? Love one another as I loved you. Why are we to be like that? I'll tell you at the end, because that's when we go into communion. So, I've got my notes. The vision night. I do confess, I'm sorry, I got a little bit emotional with Helen, so I got a bit mixed up. I started and then thought, I haven't talked about the text. So there we go. Even the best of us, if I am the best of anybody, make a mess of things sometimes. So, vision night. Because it was new to me, I put four headings down for people to think about. And I've got them here. We'll do them in that order. One was outreach. Then it was prayer. Then it was service and discipleship. Now, all of them overlap. And it eventually they ended up spilling over, and it was right that they did. But I just put them there. And I started with outreach because I wanted to give Cat pride of place, because we just found out the documentary had just been announced. And I wanted to affirm what we already know, but because I took over 2 weeks before, I affirmed the work of Cap. Cap is and has been our main vehicle for mission to our target audience as a church. And I affirm that work. I also affirm the socials. We talked about the socials. They are a vital part in our church. They're part of our character, are they not? They're the way we bond, because we've got a bit more time where we can just be with each other, not worrying about, does this thing need doing? Do these pots need cleaning? We can just be with each other. Now, what was brought up was the socials all happen in the summer, by and large. People did talk about winter socials. And indeed, do we need to go as far to travel to do the socials? We're working through this. So none of this is set in stone. As I say, this is a work in progress. These are molded. We're not done doing the vision. The vision happens all the time. So again, I affirm the socials, and we affirm that they're still a vital part of our church. And there's a little point at the end that I'll tease you with now. But we have to think about what we're doing about the socials. I remember bringing it up, that people have said, do they want to do more socials? And then the person said, well, if they want to organize them. So, yeah, because we stress the socials because they're important to outreach. That's why it was under outreach. And they're important to discipleship. Because we bring people who a lot of the time wouldn't set foot in a church, but they'll come and play a game of bowls. They'll come and walk around a reservoir. And indeed, many of the people we try and reach, it's quite sad when I heard this. They said, you know, I think Eric told of a time we went to Llandudno. And people said, I didn't know places like this existed. You know, I don't come out of Lee very much. You know, that really opened my eyes to how important this is. It's like a little holiday for them. And that's beautiful. And it's free. You know, it's free. So that's great. So I affirm that. And we're looking at other things. So we hear you. And the second point I'd like to come across is prayer. Now, as we heard from Angela, people thought they couldn't come to prayer meetings. You are more than welcome to prayer meetings. You're more than welcome to anything we do, even if you're not a member of SBC. Because we believe in the belonging before believing model. You can be part of the community, part of our family, as many people are. And it's maybe, for those of you who aren't Christians, it's a step on the road to you meeting Jesus Christ, because that's what we want for you. Because we've got it, and we don't want to keep it to ourselves. Yeah? So prayer meetings. We discussed at the Vision Night and since the nature of the prayer breakfast. And we have decided that from next year, in January, we're conducting a little bit of an experiment. Some people, understandably, asked, is 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning too early? Because it's a lot of work for the people who are hosting, because they have to be up making bacon butties and getting the place ready. And a lot of people have been busy at work all week. So the leaders have agreed, from January, for 6 months, we'll start the prayer meeting at 9 o'clock. And that if you want a drink beforehand, turn up 15 minutes before. The breakfast part for 6 months will cease. Because, of course, as well, some of the people who host the prayer breakfast are vegetarian. So bacon butties were off the menu at their house. So, yeah, so if you feel that 8 o'clock's too early, well, we're moving it to 9 now. And at the end of the 6 months, we'll assess it. But just to stress, there are other opportunities for prayer. Christine runs a life group on Thursday night. There's prayer, if you want it, before and after the service. There's prayer in the life groups. And as I say, if you want a prayer meeting, you're more than welcome to set one up. And we just want to draw your attention, because some people, I think, don't know it's there. There's a private SBC group for prayer requests. Yeah? There's one CCP and SBC family that's praying together. But we set up a private one because some people in our church family don't know anybody from CCP. And it's not just prayer requests, it's notices, it's information, it's private stuff where people can share their heart in a way that's private and safe. Because the Sports Village group is public. So SBC on track. And Simone, she won't be doing it this weekend because my wife's on call, but Simone's been putting prayer points through the week. And if you want a prayer diary, get the notice forms that Mr. Matt Platt has done for us, the brilliant work he's done, and there's prayer requests for every day. So yeah, let's get together. We value the importance of prayer. There are opportunities for us all to pray. But please, one thing I must stress, be praying in your own life, morning and evening. Yeah, morning and evening. Yeah, start the day with God and end the day with God. Yeah, you don't need 2 hours of prayer time, but we can't expect prayer meetings and worship services to be on fire if we're not daily walking with God in fear and holiness and love. Which brings us to the service. Jude led, introduced it at the Vision Night, and she talked about the need, how she felt. She read a book by a worship leader of a group called Sovereign Grace Music, and she talked about the need to feel for the service to be spiritually refreshing. You know, for people to go out refreshed having encountered God. Now, if we fear God, this will be one of the highlights, if not the highlight of our week. Yeah? And what the worship leader does is the same as what the preacher does, and vice versa. Yeah? when I preach or when anyone preaches, we're not working, we're worshipping. We're declaring the truths of the marvelous God that we serve, just like the worship leader does when he or she leads us in song. The worship leader, through those songs, are teaching us scriptural truths, just like the preacher does when he looks through the passage and brings it to you. So if we're to meet and fear God, worship will be a priority for us. Because we're not just singing nice songs. We're not just hearing a nice talk. This is the food of our soul. Right? This is the food of our soul. And it's an encounter with the living God. It's an encounter with God, what we're doing here. So, when the countdown starts, shall we start getting ready? Shall we be in our seats for 5 o'clock? Shall we give the worship leader, whoever he or she is, our attention? You know, our worship leaders, they work full time. They have young families. They have all the other commitments that they have to do. And they still find time to pick songs, prepare, and feed us. Can you imagine going to somebody coming to your house and you'd prepared all day, got the meal out, and they were sat watching telly, and you went, right, come on, I'd like to serve you dinner, and they just carried on watching television and ignored you. If I'd have done that to my mother, oh, good Scouse parenting had come in then, you know. But, not telling anybody off, but are we cultivating, are we showing by our example that we fear God? Because that will be a serious thing for us. There was a talk about having a welcoming team. Now, the leaders have decided against that. But the point is a good one. The reason we decided against that is because if there's a team, number one, it's another thing for somebody to do, and we all work hard as it is. And second of all, me being me, if I knew that it wasn't my turn to be on the welcome team and somebody new walked in, I'd think, oh, well, I don't have to deal with them. The welcome team will sort that out. I want everybody to be a welcoming church. Yeah? We want to make people feel that this is a place where we love each other. We're a family. So that means we all must be part of we must all be the welcome team. You want a welcome team, right? That's it. All of us. You've all signed up to it, right? Because that's the love of Jesus, isn't it? And SVC shows that really well, in the sense that we've had quite a few characters over the years, haven't we? You know, but we've welcomed them. And that's something that's amazing. So we want to be welcoming, we want to be reverent. And so to those ends, I've banged on this for a year, and hopefully you all know it. Let's prepare. So next week, there's a service here. Start preparing tonight. Take part. Participate. And when you've finished, the service just doesn't end and then we go back to the world. Take the truth that you sang, take the truth that you learned, take them with you, meditate on them, and ask yourself, what should I believe and what should I do with what I've just learned? Because you do realize, I hope, we're going to give account to God for how we've heard in church and what we've done with it. So think on that. Think on that. And that spills over into discipleship. It's truly wonderful to me to hear so many people saying we want people to go on with Christ. The call to follow Jesus is a call to be a disciple. So if you're if a person wants to become a Christian, then you are becoming a disciple of Christ. Becoming a disciple of Christ isn't something extra that you do later on in your Christian walk. No. That's a modern teaching that came out at the start of the 20th century. The call to follow Jesus, the call to become a Christian, is a call to be a disciple of Christ. And so, remember that the primary way in the Bible of making disciples is the service on Sunday, where we learn, where we sing, and where we gather and we grow in love with one another. And we serve each other. Yeah? But that's not to say there aren't other things that are useful. We have Barry, does a marvelous life explored, and we affirm that. That's great. So if you feel like you want to get involved in that, or you want to know what it is, there's your man. He's the man with the plan to ask on that. There's talk of possibly in time a third life group. And the timings of the life group have been discussed. I don't think there's any way we can change them just yet. But we're looking at it. Nothing is off the table. So in this talk now, I probably haven't told you anything you didn't already know. Right? But I just want you all to know where I sit and where the leaders are at the minute. I'd like to know that we're here for you, and whatever you need, there's going to be no judgment here. We are your friends and we're here to serve you, right? But I have to say this. There's only so many of us, and all 10 of the leaders are stretched. The new leaders, all of us work for, me and the new leaders, we work full time, and Andy. And even the retired people, not that anybody ever retires, are busy. So, if you want more prayer meetings, if you want more socials, if you want more this and that, discipleship courses, are you prepared to help us do it? Right? It's easy to say, more must be done. But when we say, what am I prepared to do? You know, Martin beautifully in his prayer, in his sermon on prayer a few weeks ago, he says, start the day, you know. It's on our fridge now, Simon put it on our fridge. It's such a simmy thing to do. Good morning, God. What are you up to today? Can I be a part of it, please? Thank you. Yeah? So ask not, what can SVC do for you? But what you can do for SVC. Because you are just as important to this church as I am. Yeah? As the worship team are. You've got a part to play. There's none of this that's off limits to you. The prayer meeting, you're welcome. Discipleship, you're welcome. You want to share ideas? Come and talk to somebody. Tell somebody. No one's going to feel, I won't feel offended if you come and say, John, I think we can do this better. I'd feel offended if you felt you couldn't. I'd feel like I'd let you down. Right? We're a family. So please, we affirm this vision. We want you to be a part of it. Are you ready? It's beautiful, you know, when I talk about doing the will of God and your faces all light up. It's amazing. It really is. It's beautiful. You are amazing, all of you. I think you're all... It's such an honor. It's such an honor. So why get involved in a local church? And as well, I just want to affirm one thing. I'm sorry. I miss my wife. I've been tired this week. And I've struggled with a few things, my own sins. And I just want to say, I think it's great that Alan's here and worships us. And I'd like to thank him for all his support and CCP's support in the mission. And it was great to see Adam. He's dashed off because he's leading a service at CCP tonight. So his halo will be nice and heavy and shiny tonight. He's been to church 3 times. Yeah, wow. So thank you. I think you're all fantastic. So why are we to be involved in a local church? Why are we to be holy? Why are we to walk in the fear of the Lord? And why are we to love? Because Jesus Christ died for us. What does it say in this passage? Verse 18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We're Christians. He's altogether lovely, he's altogether worthy, and he's altogether wonderful. He's the fairest of the fair, the most wonderful person ever to walk this planet. The world isn't worthy of him. And that's why we're to walk in that way, because he walked in that way and he loved us enough that he died for us to make us holy and to give us eternal life. And so we're going to come to communion now. If you're a Christian, you are most welcome. And if there's something you need to deal with, if there's a sin in your life, just say sorry to God. Because as I've said, I've not done my duty very well this week. So we all have to say sorry to God. And if you need to say sorry to somebody else in church, go and do it. There's no judgment here. You know why? Because that table says Christ took our judgment. And the only thing now for us is love. So praise God. If the band would like to come back, and we'll have a time of communion together.